If you will, open your Bibles or on your electronic devices, go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. We began last week a teaching on the Holy Spirit. And if you miss one of these services, one of these messages each week, Each message should build upon itself and begin to bring it together as we move through this. But God can reveal truth to you at any time that He wants you to have, He knows you need. But I want to encourage you, if you miss one of these Sunday morning messages, go to our website later in the week and listen to the message, because it'll help you be able to receive what's coming the next week. And so last week we began with the Holy Spirit. Who is He? And just want to review really quickly. In John 14, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and He will send you another helper." And helper in the Bible is capitalized, which obviously refers to Holy Spirit. And the helper does these things that we saw last week. He teaches us all things about God and Jesus. He helps us remember Jesus' words, gives us recall of Scripture and things that Jesus said. He guides us into all truth. Key word there, all truth. He tells us about things to come. And then another way the Holy Spirit helps is He convicts, or another word for convict is convinces, the world of sin and its need for Jesus. He convicts of righteousness, that is, convicts that there is right standing with God because Jesus paid for all sin. And He also convicts of judgment. Judgment that Satan has already been judged and he has no authority in our lives unless we allow him to have authority. And so those are some ways that we saw that Jesus, or that the Holy Spirit is helper, as Jesus was referring to Him. And today is kind of part two of who is He. And many people are reluctant to embrace the opportunity of a life-changing relationship with the Holy Spirit because of stereotypes that often create confusion and misconception. And of course, the orchestrator of this is Satan, because he wants you to think that inviting the Holy Spirit to fill you with His presence has nothing to do with friendship. The enemy wants to convince you that allowing the Holy Spirit a larger role in your life will somehow make you weird. And it only makes sense that the enemy doesn't want us to experience what Jesus intended by sending the Holy Spirit as a helper. Just for those things we just talked about that I mentioned, that he helps us in ways. In fact, Satan does all he can to prevent us from having the Holy Spirit convict us that Satan has been judged and stripped of his authority in our lives, because he wants control in our lives. And his primary strategy to accomplish that is to make us think that he, the Holy Spirit, is weird and not of God. And so that's why we're teaching this series, because I believe it's the missing link in the church today, at large, in most churches, if not necessarily all, but in many. And you see, Satan has a lot of help in using that lie convincingly. And probably many of you have encountered, weird people who claim to be filled, Spirit-filled Christians, and they're just weird. Well, listen to me. Those people were weird before they got filled with the Spirit, okay? There's just weird people in the world. Unfortunately, and this is the serious part, unfortunately, people do crazy things and then claim the Holy Spirit led them to do it. He didn't. That's not who He is. He's not weird, And you see, the enemy harms us with this lie and this deception much more than we realize. And so here's what I want us to see the Holy Spirit today in our first point. Who is He? The Holy Spirit is a friend. The Holy Spirit is a friend. Think about this. There's plenty of biblical evidence the Holy Spirit is our helper and a blessing. But there's also the enemy showing goofy people doing goofy things in the name of the Spirit. And what it does is it closes Christians to the Holy Spirit completely, or causes them to keep Him at a safe arm's length distance. Listen to me, please. The Holy Spirit is not strange, and He's not a stranger. He's not strange, and He's not a stranger. He's kind. He's a kind and sensitive person whom Jesus sent to us to enjoy His friendship. Have you ever had a friendship that changed your life in some way? A person that you developed a friendship with, and they had such an impact on your life that it changed your life in some way. Let me tell you, friendship with the Holy Spirit will change your life, and it'll be in a very positive way. I want us to look at some benefits of friendship with the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we're going to go through scriptures. So, benefits of friendship with the Holy Spirit. And the first one is this. It's power. Power. That's a benefit of having a relationship or friendship with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, verse 8. Jesus was speaking, and He said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me," Jesus, "in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth." So there's the first thing we see, a benefit of relationship. So many Christians, it's power. It's not our power. It's the power of God. So many Christians struggle to live the Christian life, experiencing various failures simply because they're trying to live it on their own power, on their own strength. And we all can be susceptible to that because of our humanness. Many people get saved, and yet they continue to live defeated and ineffective, just biding their time till they die and go to heaven. And it just doesn't make sense to live powerless when the power is offered and provided. Jesus promised it, spoke it. Another benefit of friendship with the Holy Spirit is love. Love. Many know the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. And that chapter is placed between two chapters that speak of the gifts of the Spirit. So here we have the gifts of the Spirit sandwiching the chapter on love. And I want us to look at Romans 5:5. Romans 5:5 in the New Living Testament, it says this: "And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love." To fill our hearts with His love, not human love, not our love, His love. You see, friendship with the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to walk in the love of God toward others. Now, that's no simple task, is it? It's quiet in here. This is yes, this is no. It's not easy to walk in love toward others, is it? Why? Because we're unlovable at times in our humanity. If our heart's not being filled with the love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, it's very difficult to walk in His love. And we struggle and we fail too often to do that, especially in the church. Especially in the church. The great 19th century evangelist Charles Finney, described his life-changing encounter with the Holy Spirit this way. And I quote him, "The Holy Spirit seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves of liquid love, for I could not express it in any other way. This encounter was so transforming for Finney, who was a very successful attorney at the time. The next day, he walked away from a successful law career and began preaching, becoming one of the most influential revivalists in our country's history. Not through his power, through the Holy Spirit's power, because as a result of his encounter with the Holy Spirit. God's love had so filled him, he was never the same. Never the same. Another benefit of friendship with the Holy Spirit is fruit. Fruit. Power, love, and fruit. You see, when we allow the Holy Spirit to fully dwell in us, he produces this according to Galatians 5:23 or 5:22. This is what he produces. Galatians 5:22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from our relationship with the Holy Spirit, from Him, He filling us with this. You see, this doesn't sound like a natural person, does it? Unfortunately, probably all of us don't know enough people that have this fruit. Probably for us, it is for me, I don't have enough of this fruit in my life. Love, joy. Joy? You know, sometimes you come into church and you think, this is going to be joyful. And then you look around at some people's faces and you think, oh, this is a wake. Peace. Peace. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Talked to a man yesterday, visited with him, who had some heart issues earlier in the week. They lost him a couple of times in the emergency room. Had to shock him to bring him back. And he was coherent in and out during the process. He knew kind of what was going on. He said, you know, I was at peace. I was at peace. He said, I was okay. I knew this might be it, or it might not be it, but I had peace. Well, you can't explain that peace. Most people are grappling and grabbing on to the last thread of life. Patience, well, I guess we shouldn't even talk about that, should we? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Hurts, doesn't it? When you read those words and you compare, when I can compare me with Richard, and I might look okay when these things. But when I compare me with this, with the Word, the pure Word, I got a lot to improve. I need more of the Holy Spirit. Fruit. You see, Paul starts this portion of Scripture in verse 16. It says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, immediately, most of us think lust of the flesh has to do with sexual lust. No. That's just one part of it. And it can be an issue. But there's lust for so many other things. Power. Greed. Money. Food. You know, he says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the Spirit. And the word walk there doesn't mean taking a stroll with the Spirit. It means living in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. That's your walk with God. Live in the Spirit is what he's saying. Live in the Spirit. And he ends this section in verse 25, which says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You see, he takes it one way and then turns it right around and says it the other way. Often people will ask, sometimes ask me, how do I have more peace? How do I have more patience? How can I be kinder and gentler in my day-to-day life? And the answer is that those things are natural byproducts of our humanity. Thank you. Somebody said no. No, they're not natural byproducts of humanity. They're opposite of the byproducts of humanity. They're natural byproducts of the Holy Spirit's presence and fellowship. In other words, it's natural of the Holy Spirit, but it's supernatural for us. You see, the answer is that those things are natural byproducts of the Holy Spirit's presence and fellowship in our lives. In other words, it comes from friendship with God's Spirit. When Paul writes walking in the Spirit, he means fellowshipping. Just like you walk through life with your spouse or a friend or other people or co-workers, it's fellowshipping with him. Another benefit of friendship with the Holy Spirit is gifts. Gifts. Now, there's a difference between fruit and gifts of the Spirit. Actually, the fruit of the Spirit is a gift. Sure is a gift we all need, right? That fruit. But His fullness in our lives produces blessings of miracles, spiritual power. You see, those early disciples and other believers, when they received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, when He came as Jesus promised, they were transformed from being intimidated, fearful, and spiritually weak into turning the world upside down. Now imagine that. Peter, who was always stepping on his toes, got up and preached right after the Holy Spirit filled them. And 3,000 people got saved. Do you think he was transformed by the Spirit? You see, it wasn't his power. It was the power of the Spirit. And that's how they turned the world upside down. Just a handful of followers. Thousands came to Christ. Miracles happened. Lives were changed everywhere they went. Is it any wonder? So, here's the struggle that most Christians have. Well, that was then. That was for them. That was then, not now. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says He's the same yesterday, then, today, and forever. God says, I am God, I do not change. So if He changes, how could that be just for then? And I know there's a lot of theological debate on these times and things that happen and then things stop. Listen, the Bible says these words were written for us. In Hebrews, it says they were written for us as examples for us today and those that'll come after us. Satan is threatened by the prospect of God's people fully embracing the power and the help that the Holy Spirit brings to their lives. That's why he does his best to make God in the third person controversial. Listen, we can't let abuse or misuse of the Spirit's gifts cause us to miss or shy away from all the full experience and everyday walk with the Holy Spirit. That's what Satan wants to do. And we can either allow it or not allow it. So, Let's pop those up again. Benefits from the Holy Spirit. Power, His power. Love, His love. Fruit, His fruit. Fruit of the Spirit. And gifts, His gifts. And we'll talk about those later on. But those gifts are given to us for a reason, for the edification and the building up of the body of Christ. And they're all different. So now, another benefit of friendship with the Holy Spirit is how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. How the Holy Spirit speaks to us. In the first way, the first point is His Word. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through His Word. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a person, and a relationship with Him is very much like a relationship with other people. If you're going to have a relationship with another person, you've got to get to know them, learn about them, begin to understand them. The Holy Spirit inspired every word in the Bible, every word. So the beginning point in a relationship with Him is God's Word. God's Word. That's where we begin. With a relationship with the Holy Spirit is with His Word. You see, the basic way to be able to hear God talk to you is by renewing your mind by reading His Word. You get familiar with the Word. And the more familiar you get with the Word, then the more familiar you'll be able to know the next way He speaks to us, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, is through His voice. His voice. But if you don't know anything about the Word, which is truth, and you believe something, the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you won't know if it's the Holy Spirit or the devil, or you. A lot of times it's us, because our mind's always going, and we're always trying to get our thoughts in the forefront. Holy Spirit speaks to us through His voice. God speaks to individuals. Now, a lot of people struggle with that. They say, oh, that was way back then He spoke to people. Well, I just go back to He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Truth. He's a person. And a relationship with Him is like a relationship with others. His voice, He speaks to individuals. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that God is the same yesterday and today and forever. So that being true, it really shouldn't be hard to believe that He still speaks to us today. Amen? One? Just one? Amen. Don't want anybody to hear me say that. Amen. He speaks today. He does. If He didn't, if we think we're in a world of hurt now, we'd really be in a world of hurt if He didn't speak to us today. Here's what Jesus said. Go to John chapter 10. Here's what Jesus said about the voice of the Holy Spirit. John 10, beginning in verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hears his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know what? They know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This is key. This is key, knowing the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because see, remember, Jesus said last week, in a scripture we talk about, He said, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak on His own authority. He only speaks what He hears God, the Father, or Jesus tell Him. That's what He speaks. And that's how we hear God's voice. It's the Holy Spirit speaks. Verse 27, I believe it is. Yes, he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. It's a benefit of friendship with the Holy Spirit. You'll be able to learn to hear God's voice. Now, Jesus refers 5 times to the shepherd speaking or either the sheep hearing in this passage, hearing his voice. We are the sheep based on the word. And we can and we should hear his voice. You see, the Holy Spirit is Jesus' voice to us. He only speaks what he hears Jesus or the Father speak. And so we can get to know the Holy Spirit's voice, but it's not a light switch. Okay, today I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to hear what he says. No. That's why friendship is so important. Let me ask you something. It's not as, we can't do it today because of all the cell phones. They have, as soon as somebody calls you, if they're in your phone, the ID comes up, their name comes up, right? But pretend for a minute they don't, or you just pick up your cell phone and answer. Somebody you know really well speaks, you know who it is before they say who it is, right? Why? Because you're familiar with their voice. Why? Because you have a relationship with them, right? Man. I guess we're going to have to go to 11 o'clock and a 1 o'clock service because you guys aren't awake at 9. So you see, it's just like if Gary back there stepped out of that doorway into that foyer out there and started talking loud where I could hear him. I'd know that was Gary. Not because I could see him, but because I know him. And I know his voice. I recognize his voice. And that's what Jesus is saying here. When we know him, when we have fellowship with him, when we have a friendship with the Holy Spirit, we know God's voice when he speaks. Now, just let me say this. Most often he doesn't speak audibly. I've never heard him speak audibly. I'm not going to say, obviously he can. God can do anything. But most often that's why the Holy Spirit's so important, because that's how he speaks to us today. And it comes to us. We can know the Spirit's voice as good as, like I said, if somebody picks up the phone, you pick up the phone and there's somebody on the that you know, you've known for 20 years and they speak, you'll know who it is. We can know, we can get to know the Holy Spirit, God's voice that well. It's not just for who you might think is the most spiritual among you. Anyone can know God's voice and hear him clearly. But it doesn't come by osmosis. It doesn't come by coming and sitting in church on Sunday and listening to a service and going through a service. It doesn't come that way. It takes friendship with the Holy Spirit and becoming familiar with his presence. Jesus clearly tells us the Holy Spirit was sent to speak on behalf of the Father and the Son. Getting in God's presence, living there and listening there is a way to begin to hear God's voice. Often people will say, well, you know, I wonder, is it the Holy Spirit or is it just my thoughts? Well, here's how the Holy Spirit communicates. Because we have a spirit and God is spirit, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit communicates to our human-born spirit and then to the mind. What that means is most likely you're not going to hear God an audible voice, but it's going to come in a form of a thought. And so it is easy to wonder, is that you, God, or is that me? Again, the fact is that hearing God's voice takes practice. It takes discernment, and it takes relationship. One way you can check it is if your thought is not in line with the Word. That's why it's important to know something about the Word. If it's not in line with the Word, then it's probably you. It's probably your thought or the devil's thought. Because he'll help you with that too. It's called confusion. The fact is, it takes practice, discernment, and relationship. It takes time and dedication in developing sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. You see, our journey with God is an amazing privilege of having the Holy Spirit with us and also in us. I encourage you to embrace what the promise that Jesus knew that we would need, the Holy Spirit as helper and friend. But there's one more answer to who is the Holy Spirit, and that's the next point. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Many people have a hard time seeing the Holy Spirit as fully God. Many unconsciously see Him as a subtle, insignificant afterthought of the Trinity. So let's look at a couple of scriptures. We saw these last week if you were here. John 14:16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever." I will pray the Father sounds odd, but what that means is, the context is, I will ask. I will petition Him. I'll talk to Dad about it, and I'm going to ask Him to send a helper. So Jesus asked God to give the Holy Spirit. Verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I, Jesus, said to you." The Holy Spirit is sent from the Father in the name of Jesus. Do you see that? The Father will send in My name. And then chapter 15, verse 26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me," Jesus. Do you see the pattern there? I will ask the Father, and He will send in My name. Jesus, I will send from the Father to testify of Me, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Do you see the pattern? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one, but three working together as one, capital one. The Trinity, God in three persons throughout Scripture. In Luke chapter 3, when Jesus was baptized in water by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit descended in a form like a dove, and God spoke audibly of His pleasure in Jesus being baptized in water and with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit literally came in the form of a dove. Matthew 28:19 says, we're told to go and make disciples and baptize them, listen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and that's it. No. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You see, they have equal importance. And that's why we need to realize the Holy Spirit is God. When we go by some of these concocted, goofy people we've seen, or goofy things we've been done, or things we've been told, people talk about the Holy Spirit are weird, don't mess with them, or that's fake, or that's phony, you're talking about God. And I tell you this because it's serious. You need to take it serious. You don't speak of God or attribute something that's not of God to Him, or you don't take the things of God and not attribute to Him. God's serious about that. And so when we get all weird about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, we make it about something that it's new to us, so it's like scary. No, He's not scary. He's just revealing Himself to you in a new and a fresh way. He wants you to have all of God you can get through the Holy Spirit, through His Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are right here. One's not more important than the other because they're really one in three persons, three distinct persons. And God designed it that way for us. Jesus came, died on the cross. God sent Him. God came in the form of Jesus, the Son, died on the cross for our sins so we could have eternal life. Boom, Jesus went back to heaven to sit at the right hand of God. He said, but I'm going to send My Spirit to help you while you're still here. You're going to need help. You're going to need power. You're going to need love. You're going to need gifts. to keep building the kingdom and restoring the kingdom. The Word confirms the Holy Spirit is an equal member of the Trinity, not a thing and not an it. You see, here's the point. The Holy Spirit is God in one of three persons. The Holy Spirit is God in one of three persons. Why do I emphasize this? Because listen to me. It's easy to acknowledge in our mind the Holy Spirit is God. Okay, Holy Spirit's God. I get that because I can read it there on a paper. But we display a very different belief in our actions and our attitudes as we actually live out our faith. Do I get an amen? It's true. It's true. And God doesn't want it like that. That's where the power is lost. It's where the power is lost to defeat the enemy, to push him back, to take back kingdom territory, to transform lives, to have an influence in the people around us, and to live more like Jesus than more like me. Because if you live like me, you're not living very good. You see, the Holy Spirit operates in ways to help us connect people to the Father who loves them, to connect people to a Savior who died for them. The Holy Spirit is kind, He's compassionate, and sensitive. Now, here's three statements of truth we all need to understand and believe. And I want to encourage you to write them down, because I really don't want you to forget them. Number one, the Holy Spirit was sent to be your helper. Not just the Pentecostals, not just the Charismatics. See, we like those labels because, that's that Holy Spirit stuff. No, for everyone. The Holy Spirit was sent for every believer to be a helper in the ways we've already talked about. Number two, truth. He wants to be your intimate friend. Jesus just didn't send him for the disciples. He didn't just send him for Charles. He didn't just send him for Rick. He wants to be an intimate friend of every believer. He wants to be your intimate friend. And the third truth we must know and understand, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Let's pray together. You can finish writing those points if you want. I want to challenge you, knowing these truths. The Holy Spirit was sent to be your helper. The Holy Spirit wants to be your intimate friend. The Holy Spirit is God. As you pray now, I want to challenge you with these truths, because I want you to ask yourself if you believe those truths I just stated, because they're not my words, they're truths from the Bible. The Holy Spirit was sent to be your helper. That's Jesus' words. He wants to be your intimate friend. That's from the Bible. The Holy Spirit is God. It's from the Bible. Knowing this, ask yourself right now as you pray, what is the state of my relationship with Holy Spirit? Am I afraid of the Holy Spirit because of things I've heard or seen or been told? Has this caused me to be closed off to opening my life to Him? You just be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. And then you respond to those questions honestly. What's the state of my relationship with Holy Spirit? Am I afraid of the Holy Spirit because of something I've heard or seen or been told? And has this caused me to be closed off to opening my life to the Holy Spirit? To more of what God has for me? To more of what God wants for me? And I don't know what your answers are to those questions, but I can tell you this. God has the solution. So I want to encourage you today to begin to ponder those questions in your life. Ask God to show you by His Spirit. What's the true answer to those questions, Lord? Is there a part of you that I've been missing because I've misunderstood or just haven't paid attention or haven't had a desire? Yet I have a lot of struggles, it seems like, sometimes, because just with my faith. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, there's no way to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Everything starts with Jesus. And so it's not a bunch of eloquent, fancy words. Here's the truth. If you don't know Christ, if you've never received His forgiveness, if you've never repented and asked Him to forgive you of your sins, and if you've never accepted that forgiveness into your life by faith, then you're lost. And by lost, I mean you don't know where you're at today. I mean you're lost for eternity. And based on God's truth and God's word, there's two destinations, heaven and hell. And the only way to heaven, in Jesus' words, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to heaven, comes to the Father, which is heaven, except by me. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, right now, if you need Jesus in your life, it's the most wonderful thing you'll do. It's not shameful. It's not embarrassing. The Bible says when someone comes to Christ, 1,000 angels rejoice in heaven. And so it's a good thing. But the enemy would say, no, you're okay. You believe there's a God. You see, the enemy believes there's a God too. But he's not going to heaven. He's already been judged. And he wants you to be judged with him. Don't believe the lie. If you need Jesus this morning, I just ask you, as people are praying and believers are praying, just lift your hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need a relationship with Jesus. Just lift your hand and I'll pray for you. Anyone here this morning? Father, I thank you for your word that's truth and life. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that is power and love. And God, we need power and love in our lives and in the church today. So I pray, God, as we learn from your word, we would continually open ourselves to your truths. And God, we would open ourselves to your Holy Spirit and allow you to fill us with your presence, with your power, and with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And don't forget to use those connection points. Just fill it out. Put your prayer request on the back. You made any kind of decision. You need a contact. You want to volunteer somewhere. Or if you want to volunteer somewhere, there's a place to check it on the back. Record got stuck there. But utilize that. And if you're visiting with us, you're a guest, first-time guest with us, take it to the information desk over there by those double doors. And we just want to give you a little gift and say thanks for being with us. And we appreciate you being here and being our guest today. Ushers, if you'll come and receive our tithes and our offerings today.